I don't know what the last 8 days of your life has been like, but if you're familiar with the greatest story ever told, you'll remember that it was just 8 days ago in the story of Jesus that he was at a dinner in Bethany, given in his honor, where he was humbly anointed by Mary. The following day, Jesus rode on the back of a colt into Jerusalem in the midst of a parade of praise that fulfilled a 500-year-old prophecy of peace. And a few days after that, Jesus celebrated the traditional Passover meal with his closest friends in the privacy of the upper room. But before that night was over, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Then he was arrested, falsely accused, made to stand before an illegal trial. He was handed over to the Roman authorities, where he was beaten without mercy. He was spat upon. He was crowned with sharp thorns, and he was condemned to be crucified. He was forced to carry his cross and then spiked to that cross through his hands and through his feet. And as a result of the torture, Jesus died the most brutal death of any human ever. Finally, this man who claimed to be God was buried in a borrowed tomb, sealed and guarded by Roman soldiers. The horror of Good Friday and the hopeless silence of Holy Saturday prepares us for the marvelous scene at sunrise on Sunday morning. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it and scroll to Matthew chapter 28. And it's here where we'll read the rest of the story. Matthew says this: after the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. As I've mentioned in other sermons, when I read the scriptures, one technique I like to use is to try to read it with all five of my senses. I try to imagine what it would be like to experience the sounds and the smells and the tastes, the sights and the textures of the objects that are described in the words of Scripture. When you read Matthew 28 in this way, and you slip on the shoes of the characters that you find in Matthew's story, you begin to get a different perspective on what that morning that was unlike any other morning that there had ever been. First, I would encourage you to slip on the war boots of those Roman guards. Many of you here today have served in the military, and maybe you've had to guard something throughout the wee hours of the night, so you might know what it feels like to be in those shoes. These were soldiers of Caesar, men who were not afraid of anything. But they were about to meet a heavenly warrior enlisted in the army of God. The Bible says that after the tremor and the angel appeared, the guards were so afraid that they shook. I don't know if you caught Matthew's little play on words there, but earthquake, shook. These tough guys apparently fainted, and a bit later on you can read that they fled to Jerusalem to report what had happened to the authorities. And there they were paid a very large sum of money to lie about what had actually happened. They took that money and they started spreading the original version of fake news. I'm sure those men never forgot the truth of that day. Hopefully, somewhere down the road, somebody shared the rest of the story with them. And hopefully, they put their faith in the risen Savior, and hopefully, someday, we might get to meet those guards in glory. Verse 5 of Matthew's account. the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." If you're still wearing those Roman war boots, I would encourage you to take those off and slip on the sandals of these women who had put them on very early in the morning as they made their way to the grave. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were heading there to anoint the body of Jesus. And no doubt they had heavy hearts. No doubt they were filled with tremendous or even overwhelming grief at what they had just experienced in the past 48 hours. But try, if you can, to imagine the jolt of emotion that they encountered as they realized that the stone had been shoved away. And then, as they're looking at that huge rock, there's a man sitting on it who appears like lightning. Now, I don't know if you've looked at lightning lately, but from afar, lightning can be beautiful. But up close, lightning is terrifying. It's no wonder that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." The women, just like the soldiers, were a bit shaken by what they saw. But I think the angel really got to the heart of their fears when he addressed the whereabouts of Jesus. For that was really what they were concerned about. "Don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said." But I don't think the angel's words were convincing enough. So that's why he had to invite them to come and see for themselves. "Go ahead, check it out, kick the tires, scrutinize this burial place for yourself. You laid him here on Friday, but trust me, he's not here anymore." The final instruction that the angel gives to these women is that he insists that they go and they tell the 11 about the good news of Jesus. So what do they do? Verse 8. "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples, tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" The women, obviously, they obeyed. And so now if you're still wearing those size 8 women's sandals, I'd encourage you to slip those off and put on a pair of track shoes. I know some of you have ran track in high school or college. And so just try to imagine the burst of adrenaline these women must have felt as it pumped through their bodies as they hurriedly ran to tell the fellas. And I really appreciate the detail that Matthew includes here. He says they were afraid, yet filled with joy. These women were fearful and cheerful all at the same time. But if their day hadn't already been exciting enough, the best was yet to come as, while they're running, they run smack dab into Jesus himself. Notice that their response is instant worship. They didn't ask a bunch of questions. For worship is the only appropriate response when coming face to face with the risen Savior. You and I will get to do that someday. And if you're still wearing those track shoes, I'd encourage you to take those off and do as Moses did before the Lord Almighty at the burning bush. Remove your shoes, for the place where you are standing or kneeling in worship, it's holy ground. The scriptures say that the women clasped his feet and worshiped him. They bowed before him, prostrating themselves in holy reverence before their Messiah. What the angel had said was true. He had risen. And Jesus is always worthy. He's always, always worthy of our worship. Matthew doesn't say how long the worship lasted, but Jesus gave them a couple of instructions. First, he said, do not be afraid. And second, he said, go and tell. Those sound kind of familiar. Where have we heard those before? And actually, these words that Jesus gave to the women that day are great reminders for us today as well. The first reminder, because he lives, do not be afraid. As you have just testified, several of you, do not be afraid. Because he lives, as the people of God, whatever we're facing today, we can be at perfect peace because the one to whom we belong is sovereign over everything. He's the Lord of the wind and the waves. He's the king over all kingdoms. He's the sure foundation on which we build our lives. His promise to us is this: do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Throughout the scriptures, the word of God reminds the people of God to not be afraid. Because even though this world may throw everything it has at us, we can be confident that nothing in this life nor in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in us in Christ Jesus our Lord. For our God still moves huge stones. And he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The second word to the women and to us today, because he lives, come and see. To the skeptics who completely dismiss the resurrection as foolishness, and to the scientists who say the resurrection is theoretically impossible, and to the sinners who wonder if there is really hope for them, and to the saints whose faith has been shaken, the message is the same. Come and see. One night a couple of weeks ago, after the kids were in bed and I just wanted to relax, I sat down on the couch, flipped on the TV, and did my channel surfing routine. On PBS, there was a special, a documentary about the life of Jesus. And it was exploring how leaders like Caesar and Pilate and Herod and Caiaphas, how they all helped or hindered the mission that Jesus set out to accomplish. Now, if you've ever watched anything about the Bible on PBS, you know that the producers will always try to find a way to suggest that what the Bible says really isn't reliable. They'll always shed doubt on the accuracy and the authority of the scriptures. But despite that viewpoint, I still found what I was watching to be somewhat interesting, and so I was hooked. It talked about the week leading up to the crucifixion, and it explored some of the details of the horrible suffering and death that Jesus experienced on the cross. I watched this special for about 2 hours. It came to the end of the cross, and then the narrator all of a sudden jumped from the cross to a scene inside of a church today. And the narrator noted that it's in the 2,000 years since Christ, there's been billions of people who have joined this movement in the wake of his death. And then the show was over. And I sat up, and I grabbed the remote, and I hit the info button, thinking that maybe part two of this documentary was coming up next, but it wasn't. It was like a cooking show or something. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. I was shocked. There was not a single word about the most important event in the history of the world. Not one single reference in this story of the life of Jesus about the resurrection. It made me sad for those who have bought the lie that Satan has peddled. Because if PBS has it right, then Jesus is still in the grave. And if he's still in the grave, then what is there to believe in? Why would anyone follow a dead Jesus? Why would anyone become a disciple of a Jewish man who's been dead for 2,000 years, a man who repeatedly claimed that he was God? As Megan said, the Apostle Paul put it bluntly in his letter to the church in Corinth. He said that if Christ's body was not resurrected, then we have no hope. If Christ's body wasn't resurrected, we have no Savior, we have no salvation, we have no eternal life. If there's no resurrection, then our faith is futile, our faith is useless. This is a waste of time. But the angel invited the women, come and see. Come and check it out for yourself. Come and explore for yourself whether or not the resurrection had taken place. The resurrection of Jesus is the undeniable proof that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Because death cannot hold a deity down. The resurrection confirmed Christ's claims that he would be raised on the third day, and it is the confirmation for those of us who believe in him that we will be resurrected to eternal life someday as well. And so I would invite you to come and see for yourself. If you have questions or doubts about this faith in Jesus, that's okay. Let's explore the evidence and discover the truth together, because honest questions, even though they're difficult or thorny, they're okay, they're welcome here. Of course, we can't go and tour a tomb, but we do have the ability to explore the pages of Scripture that have been faithfully handed down generation after generation. We have the witness of the historical data from that particular time period. And we have the testimonies of billions of lives that have been redeemed and transformed by the one who triumphed over the grave. You ask me how? I know he lives. Come and see. The final word to the women that day and to us today is the same. Because he lives, we are to go and tell. Which brings me to a very odd question. Do you have beautiful feet? If I took an informal poll around the room today, probably most of you would answer that no, you don't have beautiful feet. And if I asked some of you to come up on stage and parade your feet up here across the front, I don't think I would have any takers. You'd probably all refuse. Already have. Because if your feet are anything like mine, they aren't pretty. Typically, they're a little smelly. They're probably a little dirty. My feet have calluses on the bottom and veins along the top that protrude out. The odometer on this particular pair of feet reads 42 years of mileage. And I doubt that anyone would look at my feet and call them beautiful. But the Word of God declares that those who go and tell, those who deliver the message of the gospel, of good news about this resurrected Jesus, that the Scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, of course, the Scripture is not talking about physical appearance or outward attractiveness of feet, but it refers to the fact that it's a beautiful thing when the feet that you have bring the good news to those who are desperate for a word of hope. It's a beautiful thing when someone uses their feet to take them to a place where you can proclaim the wonderful report that death has been defeated and that forgiveness is available. Available through faith in Christ. The feet of that messenger are indeed beautiful. I don't know if you know this or not, but God has big plans for your feet. And those plans are to send you out as his ambassador so that every beating heart on this planet might hear the news that Christ was crucified, he was dead, he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. So this special day, we remember and celebrate our hope that all of the promises of God are true. Because of Christ's resurrection. The grace of God, the amazing grace of God, is ours because of faith in the risen one. Jesus, our Savior and our King. Because he lives, don't be afraid. Because he lives, come and see that this hope is real. Because he lives, go and tell someone who needs to hear the good news about the resurrection of Jesus, our Lord. He has risen indeed. To God and God alone be the glory. Amen. Amen.